Thanks, Gary. That was really interesting. Our next presenter is Amy Matroka. Ms. Matroka is the director of New York City's Immunization Information System, known as the Citywide Immunization Registry, or CIR. She also oversees New York City's Vaccine Management and Provider Quality Assurance Units.
Hi everyone. Today I'll be talking about interoperability between electronic health records and immunization information systems here in New York City. And I'll be skipping some slides in the interest of time. First, let me introduce you to our Citywide Immunization Registry, which is New York City's Immunization Information System, or IIS. I'll be using registry and IIS interchangeably throughout the talk. We started in 1997. We're a large registry with over 1,800 active pediatric provider sites. We have a mandate for reporting of immunizations for patients 18 and under. Our CIR interfaces with vital records and other systems. All reporting to our CIR is electronic. There are three options for reporting. The first is online registry, our web-based application. We also support batch file uploads in a non-standard format. And most recently, our HL7 web service. And this HL7 interface is a real-time, bi-directional web service. We do not accept HL7 batch files. The technologies we support are the SOAP web service. It does support real-time, bi-directional messaging. It accepts multiple parallel threads, which means it can be very, very fast when there are large numbers of queries. We currently support HL7 231. 251 is in development, will be complete by the summer, and we will be supporting both versions going forward. We have a detailed integration guide for EHR vendors and other data exchange partners. Let's take a look at bidirectional workflow from the provider perspective. First, from the perspective of the provider reporting to our IIS. Starts with the provider documenting an immunization in the patient's record within the EHR. Upon saving of the record, the EHR transmits the immunization to the registry in real time. The HL7 web service then sends an acknowledgement message indicating whether or not the information was processed successfully. The EHR automatically sends a query then to the registry in order to display updated decision support, and by this I mean the vaccine forecast. So on the querying side, the provider opens the patient record, clicks a button to query the immunization registry. The EHR sends an HL7 query message to the registry with all possible identifying or demographic information included in this query message. And there are two possibilities at this point. One is that no match or multiple matches are found. And in our case, our web service sends an acknowledgement with patient not found message. In the case of a unique match, which happens 90% of the time, EHR consumes and displays our IIS data. Some EHRs display registry immunizations and allow the provider to select which immunizations or all immunizations to import. Other EHR products automatically import all registry immunizations, allowing providers to edit and delete within their own electronic health record. Either way, the provider gets a consolidated immunization record displayed along with the vaccine forecast. Now, if the provider decides to vaccinate the child that day with the recommended vaccines, those vaccines get documented in the EHR support, sent to our IIS in real time, and an updated forecast is again sent back so that the forecast is always up to date. Let's take a look at some screenshots for what the EHR is doing in terms of retrieving and displaying IIS data. I'm going to skip this slide. Here we have a screenshot of an EHR for a new patient with no immunizations in the patient record. So what the provider can do in this case is go to the drop-down menu and click on Download All Vaccines. And then instantly, these vaccines are added to the patient record along with forecast of immunizations that are due all the way on the right. The red boxes here indicate invalid immunizations. So what does the EHR data integration process involve? It involves the EHR parsing an HL7 response to a query and displaying information to the provider. It involves a difficult process, which is reconciling existing immunizations in the EHR with the IIS immunizations. Some of our EHR partners are using a simple process, which works as follows. If a shot from the IIS has the same CVX code and the same date as a shot in the existing record, it's considered a duplicate and it is not imported. Some EHRs are using an advanced process. If a shot in the IIS has the same CVX code or is the same vaccine type and is within 10 days of a shot in the existing record, it's considered a duplicate and is not imported into the EHR. So what are the benefits of this real-time bidirectional data exchange? Well, certainly from the point of view of the provider, it allows him or her to stay in the EHR workflow. No need to switch between a registry web application and an EHR. It eliminates double data entry, reduces potential for transcription errors. There's an improved search rate, meaning more successful searches. And that's because more demographic fields are used from the start to search for the patient. The provider gets immediate access to consolidated immunization records and an accurate vaccine forecast during the patient visit. This leads to reduced missed opportunities to vaccinate and increased documented immunization coverage. And courtesy of our friends at Columbia Presbyterian, I'm going to share their experience. They're a large hospital network in the city with 24 facilities. So on this slide, you can see a bar graph showing immunization coverage by age group. The dark blue bar has EasyVac, which is the hospital's own system, coverage based on EasyVac data alone. Compared to that in the light blue bar is the hospital system EasyVac data combined with data from our IIS or our CIR. And you can see that in each case, each age group, there is a significant increase in immunization coverage when the two data sources are integrated. So the benefits for bidirectional data exchange for IIS and programs are more timely data and more complete data, particularly for VSC eligibility and lot number. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. There's more accurate and consistent immunization data across an IIS and the provider's EHR record. And as we had talked about before, an improved patient search rate, more successful searching. So here is a table that shows improved VSC and lot number capture. On the left are the three types of supporting that our IIS currently report, types of reporting that our IIS currently supports. First is the non-standard flat file, then there's the online registry and the HL7 web service. And across the top you can see the percent of immunizations coming in by those three sources with VSC eligibility and with lot number. And you can see that there's a dramatic difference here. Immunizations reported through the web service are much more likely to have VSC eligibility and lot number. In fact, almost 97% of immunizations reported through our web service have VSC eligibility indicated, and over 98% have a lot number. So this graph is looking at search activity, comparing our online registry in red to our web service in blue. And please note that the broken lines indicate total searches. The solid lines indicate successful searches. So you can see with the blue lines that representing our web service searches, that those two lines are tracking very close together. And that's because there are 88% successful searches. With the red lines, which represent the online registry, there's a gap between the broken line and the red line, and that's because 60% of online registry searches are successful. And the reason for that is simple. When you're searching patient by patient, quite often you start out with entering very little information and even making some typing errors. So quite often the first search is not successful. I'm going to skip this slide for the moment. I'll just say that our public school system is now using our HL7 web service, and it's leading to a great deal of time saved on both the school side and the immunization program side. In fall of 2011, the schools used the web service to download over 1 million immunizations for about 150,000 students, which was greatly beneficial for the schools in our program. So back to New York City's progress with connecting our IIS with electronic health records. We have 216 facilities in production. 94 of these are bidirectional. 122 are unidirectional, representing approximately 20% of total immunizations reported to our IIS. There are 8 different EHRs in production, and 2 EHR vendors are currently testing for bidirectional, representing an approximately 250 facilities. This graph shows shows reporting methods to our IIS. The blue line is total reporting. I'd like to draw your attention toward the bottom of the graph, and you see the purple line, which represents our HL7 web service, and you see that trending upward nicely. And you can compare that to the red line, which is our batch file non-standard batch file transfer, and that's trending downward. So I want to mention that in addition to New York City, there are actually 5 other states supporting SOAP web services in production. The 4 that are mentioned here, Indiana, Alabama, Wisconsin, Oregon, and we also recently learned about Colorado. This table is showing the number of sites that are unidirectional and the number that are bidirectional. Colorado reports 45 sites bidirectional. And we also recently learned of an additional 4 states that are testing SOAP web services. So between the 5 New York City and the 4 that are in testing, there will soon be 10 jurisdictions supporting SOAP web services for real-time bidirectional standards-based data exchange. So I think this is very exciting. So what are the challenges? From New York City's perspective, our health information exchange in our state is in the early stages, and the state does now not support real-time bidirectional HL7 data exchange, although they've pledged to do so. Here, as in other places, I believe, there are a large number of EHR vendors to work with, many with small numbers of provider sites, but it takes a lot of staff time to work with these folks. And the vendors have different levels of knowledge with regard to web services, and many EHR vendors are not currently using our vaccine forecast or clinical decision support. Some are, many are not, and we're hoping to expand that. From a national perspective, EHRs perceive variability in implementation of HL7 standards, and many of them say they have to build a different interface for each IIS. And since meaningful use, bidirectional data exchange is not currently required for meaningful use, some EHR vendors are reluctant to support it. Also, EHR vendors may want to charge providers additional fees for bidirectional data exchange, which will be a barrier to uptake of this method of data exchange. From an IIS perspective, support for real-time bidirectional HL7 web services from state and local IT departments is not always in place. Fortunately, here in New York City, it is. Some IIS, or most IIS actually, need more resources. They need funding to build, maintain, and update web services, as well as to bring on new providers, onboard new providers. We need staff to do that. Many IIS also need additional technical expertise to build and support web services. So the next step in New York City are that we're continuing to connect new practices. We hope to have 450 on board by August 2012. We hope to implement bidirectionality at sites that are currently unidirectional. We see the need to advocate for state and local health department policy change to support real-time bidirectional data exchange. And we see a need for additional support of IIS and local health department IT departments. We call for an increase and an expansion of funding of the CDC interoperability grants. We would like to see ERA and CDC convene a community of practice for sharing of best practices and lessons learned and implementation of bidirectional data exchange. And we'd like to see more support from ERA and CDC for expert technical assistance for states that need it. So I'll end by thanking my colleagues around the country for contributing data to this talk, and add Donna Herrero from Colorado. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to share our experience today.